Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
But if it ain't no light, you ain't gonna be seen. If it ain't no mic, you ain't gonna be heard. And that's one of the problems that we have with HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bless you. I wanted to be with you. I wanted to enhance you. I wanted to help you. Because success ain't success without a successor. So we got to help one another, and brothers got to do this. I can't be standoffish when I see some hungry dogs out there trying to eat. I came here because God called me to collect, and I accepted the charges. Mm-hmm.
my graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop. A mic drop, backdrop.
All right, EYL, we made our way down to Mississippi for the first time ever. Is your first time in Mississippi?
Of course.
Why you say of course?
I mean, I got no family in the South. So.
Why'd you say of course? Like,
because you know that. We like, booked in there.
No thought about it. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even
it's a not really one, a destination. It's not really a destination.
It's not where you're going to bring your lady. Like, let's go to Mississippi.
Exactly, right? Like, my family's from the islands. And so, Mississippi.
Why you had to throw that out?
It really ain't no ties to it.
What is that?
We're not ties to it, but
my family from the islands.
That's changing.
My family from Fort Myers.
All the boys. That's changing though.
Yes. So we're here with Coach Prime. One of the greatest ever in a variety of different aspects. A real GOAT in the game and somebody who I drew a lot of inspiration from as far as cultural influence. I was talking to Jalen Rose last week.
My dog.
Shout out to Jalen. Good dude. And I was telling him how much the Fab Five meant to me.
Yeah.
It meant a lot.
Yes.
I mean, like outside of basketball, but just the culture.
Yeah.
What they wore.
They changed the game, man. They changed the game.
Similarly, you did as well. I remember playing Madden, I think, 96? One of those Madden games. And I would play with you, two-way player, San Francisco.
Atlanta first.
Well, yeah, but San Francisco, I think he had a higher rating. Might have had a higher rating.
I don't know how.
It was
same game, just different name. Yeah. Different team name, same game.
Another thing, I'm glad you brought up Jalen, because one he says, there's very few people that can they can go bigger than their sport, right? Like, even when they stop playing, how will they be remembered? And so, like, you've managed to do that. Obviously, like, we grew up on primetime, and we grew up on the championships, mm-hmm. and we grew up on the two-way. Like, I'm a Yankee fan, die-hard Yankee. I remember the Yankees when you were playing there, and you've transcended the game of football.
Well, I appreciate it.
To a sense where it's like, you became a pop icon. Mm-hmm. The Nike, I still remember the Nike sneakers coming out, and we had to have those.
Can't forget the rap video.
But this is a little known fact,
yeah,
right?
It was a hit, too, by the way.
Nah,
don't forget. Must be the money.
Must be the money.
Must be the money.
It's a hit.
That's a hit. Right, it's a hit. Like, don't leave that part out. But this is, as a diehard like sneaker fan, like, I remember, I'm a Washington fan, too. I don't want to say that too loud. But you were, like, one of the first guys I ever saw customize your Jordans.
Yeah.
You had the patent leathers, but you put them in maroon.
Yeah.
It was you and Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yep. That's when I was on the, probably in my contract, and that company didn't want to really take care of me and make my own shoe. So I called MJ, and he said, I got you. Don't worry about it.
Nah. And it was the dancing, too.
I still got that. If you look, this is real. I could do the move. I usually keep this apparel on. But since I knew I was coming, I said, let me go championship.
Man, I appreciate it. I had some wonderful memories in that there. Wonderful. Great. One of the greatest secondaries ever assembled.
I think I can name him.
Go ahead.
Then you're going to put me on the spot. All right. You?
You're true.
Eric Davis?
Dog.
Hanks?
Yeah.
Hanks?
Dog. This is a tough one.
I want to say McDonald, but it's not McDonald.
That's him.
It is McDonald?
Tim McDonald. The thing about that secondary, all four members, three of us went to the Pro Bowl that year.
Yeah.
Then a year I left, then three of them went to the Pro Bowl.
Broke my heart.
So you got to say four guys went to the Pro Bowl,
yeah.
Which was unbelievable in one secondary.
I'm a Notre Dame guy. So Brian Young.
Yes.
Dog.
Yeah, Hall of Fame.
Stubblefield.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky Waters is Notre Dame too.
Ricky was a bad boy.
No game, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
John Taylor was a bad boy. Don't sleep on John Taylor.
Delaware State.
Yeah.
I used to read the back of cards.
I see.
Yeah.
Like, my whole life, yeah.
This guy's like a sports. We interviewed AB. That was the funniest thing ever. He was like, who won the Super Bowl in 1992? He said the name. He was like, how do you know that? Because like, his thing is like, nobody remembers Super Bowl. He's like, do you remember who won in 89? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay.
Like you're a real fan.
Yeah. But we can go on with this conversation forever. But first and foremost, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you, fellas, for
being here.
For sure. So I want to get into it. You know, EYL is about business. And I feel that this conversation is very important right now. And I want to touch on a variety of different topics. But I want to start with NIL.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, is very controversial.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people have different, you know, takes on it. I know your friend, Coach Saban, he had said something that was a little controversial a few months ago.
He was really speaking the gospel, but it just came out wrong.
Okay. So what is your thoughts on NIL and how have you – or have you been able
to? Let me do one at a time because I can't remember. I'm 55. I just look good. It's supposed to be name, image, and likeness that these youngsters are getting compensated from. I have no problem with that. I like that. I think they should be compensated. But it needs to be name, image, and likeness. So when we say name, image, and likeness, that means I need to see you endorsing something, right? So when you hear about these crazy figures some of these college athletes are getting, what do you see them on? I got time. What? Maybe one guy, a quarterback from Alabama, and my son, you know, who has quite a few endorsements, but really you have collectives. That's what Coach Saban was saying. You have collectives who's gotten together, which is another name for a bunch of handsomely compensated boosters gotten together and put money in a pot and say, okay, we got $20 million here. Coach, here you go. Do your thing. So the coach said, well, let me go get this guy right here. I gave him one. I give him $500. I give him. That's not name, image, and likeness. Mm. That's just really a collective just breaking these kids off. That's not what it was meant for. Now, that upsets the little guy. How are we going to compete with that at HBCUs, when I believe 7%, if that, gives back to the schools in which they graduated from?
Alma mater.
Yes.
Boosters, yeah.
And it might be being kind by 7%.
For HBCUs or just in general?
HBCUs. No, not in general. HBCUs. So that upsets the balance of what we're trying to do. We don't have collectives. The best we could do is kids earning a real NIL. But when you think about it, just think about what you guys are doing. How can a college athlete, add to what you do? It's kind of hard. It's kind of far-fetched because it really has no value. So what you really doing besides just giving them money? So don't pretend like it's this when it's really that. That's my problem. But I do feel like these guys should be compensated.
So as a coach and dealing with that, knowing the parameters, that's one thing.
Yeah.
You're on the other side of it, too. You're a parent who has a child who has NIL sponsorship. So
real NILs.
Real NILs.
NIL.
Beats by Dre, is that still in?
Beats by Dre, Brady.
Yeah.
Gatorade, and there's a couple more that he really endorses. So that's real, not a collective.
Right. So, like, how intricate were you in that process? Or was it let him figure it out?
I can't be involved in that process. Now, what I can do, because he's my son, as a coach, I can't be involved, but he's my son. I can say, son, if you're going to get that from this drink, I'd rather you hold on and get that from this drink, because this drink is going to be around for a long time. That one ain't. Okay, that one is just flash, and it's just a dollar just to get your attention, but it has no sustainability. This one does. Mm. So let's ride right there. I could lend him that, and that's what I did.
Yeah, did you? There was a new ruling today that, and I didn't even know this till recently, that international players can't even get NILs. And so,
why is that? That don't make no sense.
And so there's a kicker at Cincinnati. He actually is. He has endorsements, but he's giving it to walk-ons. And so, like they said, like 7% of the NCAA football players are international athletes. I know a lot come from, you know, different parts of the world.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that?
That's not fair. I mean, to me, an athlete's an athlete. Whether, no matter where he derived from, an athlete's an athlete. He's still going through the same trials and tribulations as a young man. He should be able to be compensated just like the others if he's going through the process that the others are going through. And that's being a student athlete trying to secure a degree and trying to secure his place in life.
I think basketball probably has a lot more international players than football.
True.
Mm-hmm. But in a perfect world, what do you think a better solution is? Do you think that athletes should just get paid, football and basketball players? Should you get paid?
Yeah, but then just say you pay, you say everybody's going to make $5,000 a month. Okay. Now you got to figure out where's the hustle going to be. So now is that coach going to just recruit certain players that may be not good at all so that he can say, you know what, I'm going to sign you and I need a couple off that $5,000. You know, it's always going to be a hustle somewhere. You got to find out where it's going to be so you can eliminate it.
Yeah.
And then if I'm a coach and everybody's getting $5,000 and you ain't contributing nothing, you don't even want to be out there, you're not going to class, you're not working hard on the scout team, you're probably on the scout team if you ain't working hard, and you really don't want to be out here. So how long am I going to allow that?
Mm.
So then I got to be able to cut that off. And see, another thing that you don't understand with NILs, suppose you're a guy that come in from the outside. We got a machine going right here, and I grab a receiver, just name a school, any school.
Florida State.
Florida State. I grab a receiver. That's not a good name. that could come back to bite me somewhere. There's Slippery Florida. Rock. Slippery Florida. Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
We grab a receiver from Slippery Rock that's nice with it.
Yeah.
And we pay him a meal. So first of all, he's making more than my coaching staff. Now, that has alienated not only the coaches, but it alienated some of the players. So now you got this big time corner I have here that's not making that, that goes at him every day in practice and takes his heart. How do you think that's going to disrupt my team? So you got to be careful with that. And how long am I going to pay that? So if you bring in, if you come in here making that, you got to prove that you are that. If you're not, am I going to be able to take that away from you? Then what happens next? If I am able to take that away from you. Also, reporters really don't get on these kids because they're amateurs. They'll jump on a pro hard because he's getting compensated. So now when the kid is compensated, so now do the reporters go at them? Because now you're making more than those reporters who didn't come at you because you had amateurism. Now you're getting compensated. So you're just like a pro. So the whole pen and the whole articulation is going to be somewhat different with the approach to a young man because he's not an amateur anymore. He's a handsomely paid athlete. So that whole approach is different. Now he drops a ball in the fourth quarter and you unpaid him $500,000. So you don't think those students in one of these country towns going to flip his car over and going to paint his car and going to bust all the windows? It's a whole lot of stuff when you get into this that could take a quick left instead of staying right.
Let me ask you this. Another good friend of ours, Maurice Claret, shout out to him. He challenged the system a while back, which became a legendary situation where NFL, you're not able to go early into the league. Jalen Rose actually spoke about that once again, referring to Jalen. He said that basketball and football is the only two sports where those rules are in place, which predominantly are black. What are your thoughts on NFL not allowing freshmen or people come out?
Freshmen ain't ready for that. This is a basketball is a little different now. This is a grown man's game. A grown man would take your heart out there on that field. A little kid just coming up out of high school, and he just came out of 1 year out of college, so he's pretty 19 years old. He's getting up there going to deal with Aaron Donald? Are you going to deal with a dog corner like Jalen Ramsey? Are you going to deal with somebody that can really take your heart and take your whole game away from you and disrupt your whole believability and thought process of, I can really do this? Football is different. At the most, I would go 2 years and out. Now it's 3 years and out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So
but years. If I had to push it, it'd only be two, but certain positions.
So you don't think there's ever an exception?
Like, no, I don't. We could say a guy like Adrian Peterson was ready, but we don't know that, man. Because there ain't no grown man hitting on him like that. You running up and down the field with college pills. Yeah. When a grown man go upside your head. But not only that, just the whole lifestyle, the understanding of the allocation of time. You got to adjust mentally and psychologically, man, and emotionally when you start this process. Because this is a man. Now you got a grown man's expectations of you now. And that's tough for some kids, man.
So you're here at Jackson State. All right, and I'm going to talk about HBCUs for a sec because one of the things you said is that they don't have boosters coming back. We know everybody preaches, especially in our community, like you should go to HBCU, and it's a great experience. And obviously, you've come here with intent. But what do you do to gain money, to get endorsements, to get sponsorships when you know there's a lack of boosters coming in to give money to the program?
You got to ball out. You got to ball out, and you got to be so recognizable, so different. You got to be so passionate and so alluring and attractive that you, your aura and your je ne sais quoi, just you have that attractability. But that's hard because it ain't no light. See, the only reason we're showing us right now because it's light and there's cameras. But if it ain't no light and ain't no cameras, how you gonna be seen or heard or noticed? So thank God we're doing what we're doing, and you're giving me this wonderful platform because now we're consistently shedding light.
This episode is sponsored by FX's Atlanta. FX's Atlanta returns for its final season. Earn, Alfred, Darius, and Van are back in their hometown. But the question is, has Atlanta changed or have they? FX's Atlanta, the final season, all new Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
But if it ain't no light, you ain't going to be seen. If it ain't no mic, you ain't going to be heard. And that's one of the problems that we have with HBCUs. Mm-hmm. And we just got to do better, man.
Yeah, I wonder, did you come in here with the intent, let me shine light? Because I'm sure, obviously, your high school record was incredible, right? With True Sports, you had four state titles. I don't want to get any four state titles, right? Yeah. And so I'm sure that there was other offers throughout the country.
True that.
But you came here.
I came here because God called me collect, and I accepted the charges. So with HBCUs, you got to perfect before you package. Everybody want a package, and they ain't perfected. So then everybody find out your flaws in that light, and then they don't come back. We hollering, we want bigger deals, we want to be on TV. How we want a bigger deal, we want to be on TV, and ain't nobody in the stands? Mm-hmm. How? Ain't no names on the back of the jerseys. The whole thing is just chaotic. We got to bring solvency, and we got to bring unity when we try to do those things that we desire to do, and that shed light on everything. Because some folks ain't ready for the light, man. You know, when I was like 7, 8 years old, man, we had roaches like crazy. You come home late at night and turn on that light, yeah, they scatter.
Yeah,
we don't need to scatter as a HBCU. We got to be ready. So we're not ready right now. We're getting there, but right now, we're in that stage where you poke the holes in the pot pie and let that thing cool off a little bit. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah. We got to poke the holes and let it cool a little bit.
So let me ask you this. As far as social media, I think that you've done a better job than anybody I've ever seen on a college level of embracing culture and really, like you said, the spotlight, the cameras, social media is like the great equalizer.
Yes, it is.
So when you bring people like Gillian Wallow, shout out to him.
Yes, my dog.
Yeah, Michael Vick, Warrens.
Yeah.
This has actually become like a vibe, like a cultural epicenter. Like you have to come to like Jackson State to like, you know, come.
To just see it.
Just to see it, meet the players. Like it's become something like, so talk about like, was that your idea or was that your son's idea?
No, that's definitely my idea. What my son does is we work in unity with my gifts and his gifts. He ain't no joke with that phone in his hand and a camera. And just his excitement for his brothers. And I'm like the director. You know, I said, get this, drop this at 12, drop this at 2, drop this at 3 o'clock, boom, boom, boom. Let's have a schedule. They want the pregame speech. Let's go. I'm like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtains, you know. but he's... He does his thing, and he's so talented and unique at what he does, and he loves it. He loves it, and you could hear him laughing and yelling, you know, sometimes when the plays are being made. And I said, you have an uncanny way of knowing where the ball is going to go all the time. I don't know how you do it. I mean, he's like right there, and they're running right to him, and he does all this on a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, no high-dollar camera. All this stuff is on a cell phone.
That's the best content. As a content creator, and it's a great equalizer because now you can go viral on a cell phone and create so much content. And like I said, I feel like you understand culture enough to know, even you doing this conversation with us, like it lets me know that you're understanding what's actually going on.
You guys are breaking though, man. You guys are like, you right there.
Yeah.
You like that popcorn that gets coming out. It's to come. So I want to bless you. I want to be with you. I want to enhance you. I want to help you.
Because
success ain't success without a successor. So we got to help one another, and brothers got to do this. I can't be standoffish when I see some hungry dogs out there trying to eat. Appreciate I got to help you eat, man.
Appreciate that. Thank you. But yeah, I just really wanted to say that it's kudos to your son, because I haven't seen any other college or even other sports, professional sports team, utilize social media
and
the way
we have no budget for it.
Yeah.
We have no budget. If you understood what I know you're going to do your homework and put it on the screen for me, please. Understand what a Power Five recruiting budget and just an overall budget for football and what our budget is. You're going to laugh your butt off. So when we do these type of things, it's all recruiting for us. This is how we recruit. So when we show you the pregame speeches, the postgame, on the field practice and playing the music, and this is bringing Dolph's whole click in, you know, the paper route boy. Yep. When we doing all that, man, that's recruiting for us. Mm-hmm. And it's free. It's free. Exactly. And that's the way we compete.
Yeah.
And because the youngsters right there, they right there on their phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. When you look at the social engagement, some of them Power Five schools, Jackson State,
They can't touch us.
It's not even close.
Right.
Even with their budgets.
Even Alabama has, I think, 1.3 million followers or whatever. We're not close to that. But with me and Jackson State, we got them.
Yeah.
So it ain't a school in the nation that can touch us because of the coach's influence.
So I'm glad you said that. That's exactly where I wanted to go, because I'm thinking to myself, most coaches promote themselves, not their programs or something. Right? When you ever see them do an ad with a brand, it's usually for the brand, and it's like, I'm the person, I'm the personality. But every time you endorse, it's you and it's Jackson State. And so there was another HBCU grad, Michael Strahan, Red Smack Entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm wondering, like, again, just having the mindset to say, all right, y'all gonna promote me? I'm gonna promote everything that I have going on.
Right.
This being one of the most important things. Was that the strategy?
100%, and it don't stop. It's almost like anybody I get into bed and partner with got to get into bed with my people too. Mm-hmm. So everybody I have a deal with has blessed Jackson State in some capacity, because that comes along with the territory. If you're going to get down with me, you're going to get down with what I'm down with. And the kids love it. I mean, the kids 100% love it. And we're able to bring CEOs and Zoom a guy like Strahan in on our morning meetings and let him talk and communicate with these youngsters that have only seen him on television. Although they seeing him on the screen that he's there, he's going to be to the homecoming game. They've met Snoop. Everybody you could think of had the young Jeezy. Everybody you could think of have rolled through, man. And I love it, because oftentimes at HBCUs, they only hear about success stories. They never get to see them live and in person.
So speaking of HBCUs, you said something earlier. You said that HBCUs aren't ready yet for that. And we see, of course, what you're doing, Jackson State, Howard, I think they just got a Jordan.
Yep, Jordan Brand. Yep.
So, but how do they get, because like you said, the budget is always going to be in the favor of the power schools, whereas Texas, they have their own network.
But did you guys say why? Somebody sooner or later got to say why.
So how do we change it? How do we get the HBCUs ready?
First of all, we got to get our business straight. We got to get the business straight. When I say the business straight, I could start from ticket sales all the way to concessions, to apparel, to understanding TV rights. And I could keep going down the list that you got to get this stuff together before you think God is going to bless you. God don't bless none that's raggedy, because that's going to be self-destruction. Only way God is going to bless you is you ready for the blessing. He's not going to put something on you that you can't carry and you can't handle. And we're just now getting to the point that we could handle the blessings that he has for us. When I first got here, no, we couldn't. And I'm not just saying it just because of me, but no, we couldn't, because we were raggedy. And it was no structure, no order. I mean, you go out there and kids thought they were going to field with this on. No. We were black socks. We were this. We were that. We're a uniform team. You know why? Because in the NFL, if you don't have on this type of uniform in the game, you get fined. Fine. First fine is $3,500, then $7,500, then $15,000, then it goes all the way up. The kids don't know about that. Yeah. I said, you know what? You want to wear your shirt out? If you do it in the NFL, guess what? This is what that is. Now, all those kids you see on television with the shirts out, see, they got grandma or auntie saying, you know, can I hold some? And they saying no, but they just gave away $15,000 just to kick it. And that's idiotic to me. They don't understand it until it's over. When they see home start to come closer, then you start thinking about, man, I had $250,000 worth of fines in my career over foolishness, just trying to stunt.
I'm thinking to myself, that was one of the things I loved about you, was like, you kind of did have it tucked in. You had the chains on sometimes. I'm like, I wonder if he was-
Never broke rules. And the guy who established them,
yeah,
I made sure I got straight with him. Mm. I said, I'm going to push the envelope a little bit now.
Okay.
Okay. So if I had my gloves and I had them open, cool. No rule break. But when I had the ones with the prime and the timeout like that, they say, okay, you can wear them. So now I made the gloves with no clasps. Okay. Yeah. The socks were a certain way, you know, but it was always uniform.
Yeah.
I've never did nothing out of a character and out of a order for the NFL. Yeah. I just look good in my unit.
So let me ask you this. As far as collaboration, how important, because obviously Jackson State is getting all the attention right now.
And we're getting all the attention because we're winning.
No. I'm saying you should get all the attention.
Right.
But I'm just saying, how important is it to collaborate with other teams in the SWAC, other HBCUs to kind of...
You mean the coaches?
Yeah, share information, share resources.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got several of the coaches on a Zoom call and say, let's talk about our biggest nemesis or detractors or cancers. And we just talked about it. And ironically, everybody's dealing with the same foolishness, but people just don't talk about it. Mm. But this is the problem. I could say stuff. Coach George could say stuff. Coach Hugh Jackson could say stuff. You know, you got NFL pipe town guys, excuse me. But some guys that don't have that, they may can't elaborate and talk about the dysfunction that they're dealing with because they're subject to be fired. Hmm. And when we do it, you may not like it, but I'm not lying. So if I'm saying, how are we going to be on TV? You ain't sell out a darn home game. Hmm. So who gonna go want to film an empty stadium? Hmm. They may not like it, but I ain't lying. Hmm. How can we have 60,000 people in a darn stadium? You talking about we sold out, and I checked the receipts, and we done sold 28,000 tickets. Now, y'all better find out who's stealing, because that affects my pocket. You may not like it, but I ain't lying. So it's a lot of stuff like that, and it's more that goes on that we got to address. And I just have the audacity to address it because it's for the kids. It's for the kids.
Yeah. When I hear you speak, I mean, obviously you're representing Jackson State, but you're speaking for the entire conference.
That's it.
I think you were critical of Grambling, and you were saying, like, look, this, I think the word was pathetic, like their attendance.
You right down the street.
You should, right? So like,
you right down the street. And this is your biggest game of the season. I know you get down with Southern in the classic. You know, I know y'all can't wait to party for these classics. Yeah. And I get sick of that. These classics that ain't nobody making no money. But
we won't go there. I won't go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you right down the street. This is your biggest game. Like, we the dogs. Like, we the ones you want to get. Mm-hmm. And you don't come to support that. And your coach is already sounding off. And I was really having his back. He's already sounding off about your attendance and your participation. And you didn't come for this. And then when we get up on you three, I know you said the heat and all that, it was hot, folks was falling out. The heat was on our side too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was back.
It wasn't just a one sided stadium that the heat was just on their side. Mm-hmm. No, when we got up by a few touchdowns, the heat got hot. Because when it was tight, everybody was there and cheering and scared. Like it was the church going on. Yeah, but when we hit that gear, it got hot.
Yeah, 66 points later.
It got hot up in there. Yeah, but all those people who really dealt with the heat exhaustion, I pray for them. I really do, because it happened on both sides.
Now, I was going to say, so that approach, long-term, obviously, will obviously lift the conference and HBCUs in general. All right, that's the approach. So the other thing about that is that you are the leader of the SWAC right now. And so when you...
We are the leader.
You are. Yeah, you.
We
are the leader
we
of the SWAC.
JSU, we.
So, well, you went to a bowl game last year.
Cool.
And so when the bowls get paid out, they're paid out for the school, or is there a part of that that goes to the conference as well? How does that work?
You good. You good. It's paid to the schools. Both schools get a sum of money. Mm-hmm. My question was, if we went out there and we the ones did that, why are we splitting some? That we did that. The football program did that. The school didn't do that. Yeah. The football program did that. So those are my questions as well as concerns.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see that. How is that regulated and dispensed?
Right.
Dispersed, rather.
That's the key word. Because, again, and I heard you speak about it, like, the guys in that locker room are the ones putting their lives on the line.
True that.
They're risking their health and safety. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if something's coming back to the school, majority of it should be for the people who...
At least provide. Show me the percentage.
Okay.
And I'm fair. Show me the percentage. And I know we have some things that we need to address amongst the school, but we did this, man. Mm-hmm. Let's take care of us and the things that we have, shortcomings that we have right now, and then we'll deal with the school needs.
So you made history last year. You got the number one player in the country, Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's obviously something that I don't think has ever been done before at HBCU to get the number one
definitely
player. So it's always been talked about, but you actually was able to do it. How was that conversation with his family? How were you able to convince him to come into Jackson State was a better choice than going to any other school that he could have went to?
We didn't have to really convince Travis to come to Jackson State. We just really had to show Travis the way and show him the light. The mistake that the other schools made was to allow Travis to come to a homecoming. You don't want to let a top recruit come to a HBCU homecoming.
Earners, what's going on? As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. When we're looking for a sound engineer, a graphic designer, or an editor, LinkedIn Jobs is the first place we go. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hiring hashtag frame on your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/EYL. That's linkedin.com/EYL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
No, that's just like coming to a carnival, a fair, a wonderful
gathering.
A wonderful gathering of a family reunion. Yeah. So, and we have some of the same things in common. Travis liked the fish. I love the fish. The kid studied my life, and thank God, because he knows me like a book, and I felt like I knew him. So when we got down and really started to talk about things in this game and how, what he wanted to accomplish in this game, it's like, I'm your navigational system. Everything you talking about, I've done. Let's go. It wasn't no begging, no pleading, no strong arm, and no payday. Travis's mother is a wonderful spiritual woman as well, and she got it. I mean, she got it. She's like, my baby coming here. Yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, that's really how it went down. It wasn't no tooth pulling. Wasn't nothing like that. He wanted to be here, and we made it possible for him to be here.
Well, I'm sure a lot of players, I mean, what better to learn from than the best? Like, so right. That's an advantage that I don't think anybody else really has. So I'm sure that's very good for recruiting. If they're looking to take their career to the next level, they can learn from the best that's ever did it.
Yeah. Not only on the field, but off the field and in life. So Travis watches everything, man. Like, you can't do nothing without him. We were sitting in the training room together today, just sitting on the table, and I was going over my foot, and he was doing his ankle. I said, you know what, dog? You give me your left leg, and I give you my right. And we a whole dog.
So it's the nickname is Baby Prime.
Who, Travis?
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
He just made it up.
So I'm wondering, because I've read that you said this, maybe you didn't, that he's at this point of his life,
he's
better than you.
Yeah.
Which is, I've never heard people talk like that.
No, I'm not, but I'm not lying. I wasn't nearly the athlete. I take that back. I was the athlete.
Oh, okay.
But not straight football. You know, I had other things that I could do really well. But at the football player, he is way farther than I was. Like, Travis came in ready to take the opposing team's best receiver right now. Mm. Right now. He's already ready for that. He's a dog, man. He go out there on the practice field and take our best receiver. Let's do this. And he ain't playing. Mm. And if you mess around and catch one, let's do it again. So that's how Travis gets down. And he mentally, and he wants to learn. He'll grab me, coach, come over here, just watch me in 707. I said, dog, I can't just stand on the side and watch you the whole time. I got to watch the whole team. Well, just watch me for a few plays. I mean, that's the way he wants to be great.
Yeah.
And I love that about him. And he ain't no joke out there on the grass, man.
So he's obviously has projections to be a pro.
But the thing about it, yeah. You're right. But on both sides, Travis is just as good a receiver as he is a DB. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He is unbelievable. He go gets that ball, man. That ball is a magnet for him, man. The kid is a freak.
Well, that's one of the amazing things about you is that you really could do everything. Like, you know, as far as special teams.
Wide receiver,
cornerback. We're not even talking about baseball. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But that's not.
Oh, track and field as well.
Yeah. So that's not easy to do in today. You don't really see too many people doing that in today's game.
Well, they don't talk the kids out of it. Because now you got this coach who's getting handsomely paid by this high school or the 707 team or this AU team that's telling that kid, hey, you need to just focus on this, boy, and you go all the way. No, man. Why? Because you just focus on that? You ain't go all the way. Let the kid be a kid. What we did? We played everything back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Now everything is singular.
Yeah. Hyper-focus.
Yes, it's singular. That's not fair to the kid. You got to let a kid be a kid. I remember as soon as we lost in the playoffs in basketball, the next day, I'm leading off. You know? As soon as football was over, that jumper was wet the next day. I mean, we lost on a Friday. I was hoping we played that Saturday. So that's just how it was, man. So nowadays, it's football, basketball, it's all year round. Sports are all year round now. They're not just seasonal.
Right.
Let me ask you this. As far as the conferences, we see some things that make absolutely no sense when conferences, like schools on the West Coast and the Big East, and Big Ten has 13 schools.
It's because they're getting paid.
Yeah, but I say that to say everything is derived around football, mm-hmm. and the conferences is just going crazy.
No, they ain't. They're going money. They're going business. Going money.
So I say that to say, is there ever any way possible that you foresee Jackson State being in a power conference at some point in time?
I would like to see that when we're ready. Mm-hmm. We got to be ready. Now, when you start jumping conferences, and I don't want to just jump to no baby conference. If I'm going to jump, let's bungee jump. Let's do the doggone thing, okay? So I got to get the Travises. I got to get Travises there too, okay, up front, mm-hmm. on both sides, offenses, defensive line, with some depth, because that's how the big boys can get you now. They can't mess with you on the skill position because we got a quarterback that can spin it. We got receivers that can go, DBs that can go, linebackers that can bang and cover. Where they get you is right here in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Because
linemen.
Now when they rotate, they rotate.
Yeah.
And they got 8 heat-seeking missiles coming. Yeah. And you may have 4. So sooner or later, you're going to wear down. So you got to beef that up if you want to compete. with the big boys.
But you would like that, or be open to it?
I want that.
Yeah, I mean,
I want
that. What conference would you want to be in?
I know it.
It don't matter. A conference that is going to
SEC
make sure that we don't have a struggle no more. Because everything is a struggle. Everything is not enough. Everything is less than. Everything is like thereof. It's going to be a conference that could put the whole school on, that we straight.
SEC would be big. It could be Big 12, too. I mean, if it's an SEC is like...
SEC is the biggest.
This is the biggest. And it's
but
tough.
You got to understand, when you start talking like that, you got to have somewhere to house them.
And
you got stadiums? You got to have all the facilities?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody... Come on, man.
Yeah. I want to get to the facilities. But I want to talk...
SEC coming here like this?
You said playing the big boys. And I know one of the things you touched on recently was the money games.
True.
And the disparities in that. Can you elaborate and explain to people? Because when we see a... let's pick a random school. Let's say you guys play Alabama.
So, so you just saw Alabama State.
Right, Alabama
play State. Against UCLA.
Right.
Okay.
Big dog.
I don't mind that. But tell the kids what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing for money. I'm playing so that we can pay for this. Don't act like you got a chance. Because you know you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're playing for money, do real business. So you getting $500,000 or $590,000, whatever was reported.
Mm-hmm.
Won't you call and check and see how much a charter flight is? Two charters. Because you got one for the team and one for the band. Okay? Going to California. Now you got hotels and all that, all those accommodations. And probably two nights of food and all that. That's probably six meals. That's going to be an upward of $700,000, $800,000 to $1 million. But you're getting $590,000. So you took an L and took an L.
Going and getting beat down.
Literally.
Yeah. So
to me, if I put my kids in a situation where there's no win and is detrimental to their health, I'm selling them out. We big on that terminology in African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting you in a situation where I know you're not going to win. And I'm not even getting handsomely compensated for it. That's a problem. But you have the same situation when another school goes to Nebraska and play, and they get 1.4, 1.7. Another school goes to Penn State or go to one of these other schools, and they get 1.5, or they get 1.3. They're doing better business.
Right.
To me, isn't the value not in the school that could beat me? It's in the school that I'm going to beat. Because I really just played a setup game just to beat you, right? If I'm paying you, that means I need to whoop you.
Yeah.
Right? When a boxer pays another boxer, they paying him to what? Whoop him. Mayweather ain't finna pay you if his purse is $20 million and he paying you $15 million. No, he's going to pay you significantly less because he know he going to whoop you.
Yeah.
It don't make sense to me, man. The numbers just don't add up to me. Yeah. That's a problem for me.
So who negotiates that from the
school? It has to be the AD.
The AD does it?
Yes.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Because I remember when I used to play basketball, and I remember I used to see, like, Coppin State, they used to always – their first 15 games was on the road. They play Ohio State, Michigan.
Beatdowns. Pocket's fat, though.
Start the season off, like, 0-10, 0-12.
I was going to say, the SEC has that 1 week every year. They're like, this is Cupcake City. Why are you playing UCL Monroe?
Because it's a pay game for them.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to make sure you get compensated enough. It's not worth my kids getting hurt. Then I got to go and talk to them. You know what? We could do it next week. I know what happened last week. I'm sorry about that. We had to go get the bag. That's what the conversation should be. We had to go get the bag.
Yeah.
But guess what? Yeah. We could do it this week. We could beat them.
Yeah.
But I can't sell my kids like
that. That's what I'm saying. Even when you get the bag, it's still coming back to the school, not necessarily the program.
Go. And you ain't even bringing enough back because you got to make it back home.
Right.
And you didn't even get enough to even make it back home with a bag.
And at some point, a conversation has to be had about funding for these schools, especially the state schools, because it's like, why? A lot of these, Ohio State is a state school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Florida State's a state school. But why the black state schools never get any money at
enrollment.
All?
Enrollment. You got to talk about enrollment. And we got to stop accepting whatever they give us. They can't just throw no money at you and you say, oh, thank you. No, man. Stop accepting the foolishness that they give you. If you accept peanuts, they're going to think you're a monkey. Sooner or later, you got to stop dancing and clapping for the little dimes they're throwing in your plate. And you got to demand, we deserve more, and this is why, and it's documented.
So one of the things you talked about, obviously, is the facilities. If we're going to grow and win, with winning comes success, comes more money. I know even like here, when you came here, this room we were sitting in did not exist.
No, it didn't.
Right.
So the practice field did not exist. Practice field did not exist. None of this existed. And we're thankful that we have an AD that knows how to fight. And we partner and we communicate and we articulate to one another the needs and the thoughts and the process of getting them.
Yeah.
Then I got partners.
Right.
And who help.
And one of the things that kind of got glossed over was like, even when this wasn't ready, Coach Prom said, look, take half of whatever I'm making, make it happen.
Yeah, I had to finish.
Get it done.
I had to get it done. Because I get tired of telling people this. Sooner or later, you just, hey, man, I do it. I'm going to only tell you to cut the grass 3 times. Okay, after that, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to sit up here and just cry. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do what you've been handsomely paid to do, your job. Then again, I'm going to do it.
So you've become the most recognizable person in the state of Mississippi. And I don't even think it's close, probably by a landslide. So with that, I'm assuming there's a lot on your plate that you probably necessarily didn't sign up for. So we just had...
No, I'm not going to say that.
No?
Everything that's on my plate, I've been through the process at the youth level, at the high school level, or at some level. God has taken me through it in the dark. So when you hit the lights, I was ready.
So let's talk about the water crisis.
Mm-hmm.
If you could educate us, because, I mean, we see stuff on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got here last night, we're in a hotel. It seemed like it's okay. We're here, there's still school going on. So is it over? How bad is it?
It's not. I don't feel like it's over. Okay. I don't think it's over. It was no water pressure. We didn't have bathrooms. We didn't have toilets. The kids couldn't take showers. So that turned the air off. They turned the arrows off in all the buildings and shut down the school. You can't shut down the school when kids are in dorms. So you got to get the kids out of dorms and take them to a hotel. And that's when my skill set of being proactive helps instead of reactive. Okay, now, when this comes along, here we go, let's go. This is what we got to do. This is the ship. We get ready to go play FAMU in Florida. I tell you what, take the kids to the hotel. Let's do this, that. We're going to feed them right here. We're going to do this right here. We're going to change this here. We'll bus over. We'll practice here. And we're good. We'll go back. So they can shower here. Then we're going to leave from that hotel and go to Miami. Because we leave on the Thursday and this hit us on a Tuesday. So we good. Now, why are we kicking butt? I ain't even, the night before, hey, we're going to kick their butts. Where my kids going when we get back? So you got to forward think about that. I have that notice to you the morning of the game. So 11 o'clock, hey, where my kids going when we get back? Oh, we already got them straight at this hotel. They'll stay there until all this stuff is lifted. Cool, we straight. Let's go. Because it's always about the kids. And I got to make sure they're straight.
How's the community doing?
Jackson is resilient, man. Jackson is some tough people. It's some way makers, man. It's some prayer warriors. It's some good folks in Jackson that all they need is hope. And thank God that's what we're instilling in them through our play. Because we give them hope. Because you see Jackson, man, this is the state's capital. And we having crises in the state's capital. We having the foolishness in the state's capital. You see the roads and the streets when you, it's like you're in a darn roller coaster in the state's capital. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. Yeah. But they ain't crying. They saying, you know what, let's proceed. We're going to proceed with caution, but we're going to proceed. And that's how the city of Jackson is. They're resilient. And I appreciate them for that. And they're thankful and appreciative bunch of people. Hey, I can't go anywhere in town without white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. Hey, Coach Prime, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just what we're doing here. Not what I'm doing, but what we're doing here. Because we instill hope and we instill that, hey, you can make it. You can make it. Just hold on.
Yeah, I think the economic impact of you being here in 2021 was, I think, $19 million was brought to the city.
30.
I was going to get to this year where they have it estimated over 30.
Mm-hmm. You got at least tippers, though. Wasn't no tip. When the waitress served you, good food. When the waitress served you, don't you supposed to tip?
Common courtesy.
It wasn't no tip.
Common courtesy.
Give me a tip.
At least.
Give the program a tip.
At least.
That's all I needed.
I was over there, Frank. I was over there.
I ain't asking for much.
I mean, I was
somebody sit down with me and let's talk about this. You know you brought $30 million into the city. Yes.
Let's, yeah.
Tip us.
20%.
20%. I take 10. Give us 10.
Yeah, it's going there, but okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot, right? That's a lot for
true.
For I mean, a program which obviously you were the cornerstone of coming here and having that impact. I wonder how much say or even do they come to you and say, what can we improve? Not just on the campus, but in the city.
I go to them.
Go to them.
I just met with them a few weeks ago. And I said, look, it's something we should be able to do together because we're bringing you true economics and you know we are. So let's get together and figure out how we can help one another. So if we brought you $30 million and we didn't even communicate, we may be able to bring you 45 if we ever sat down and talk and discuss business. Mm. And help people understand what Jackson is, what Jackson has, and what Jackson occupies, and promote some of the hotels, the restaurants, the some of the businesses in Jackson. We could do all that if we just communicate. Mm. Let's just do that. So that's what we are. And I'm supposed to have a meeting this week about that. We just want to chill. That's all.
Let me ask you this. As far as... being a leader of young men, mm-hmm. How has that been? Because obviously it's not easy dealing with, you know, high school is one thing, but college is a whole different animal as far as, you know, kids is living on their own for the first time. It's all kinds of influences. You got girls, you got, and now, you know, they getting social media recognition, they're meeting celebrities. So how has that been as far as dealing with them young men?
Let me answer the question first. You said being a leader of young men. It's hard to be a leader of young men when you haven't been a leader of older men. I've been a leader of men. So being a leader of young men is just another level. And I'm truly prepared because I'm a real daddy. I'm a real father, mm-hmm. and I take fathering serious. So when I'm looking at these young men, I'm sitting up here and Shador's there. Shallow's there sometimes, and sometimes he ain't. That was some truth I just spit right there. But I try to get to know them at some point in time personally, so I know what I'm up against and how to communicate. I may can't yell at him, but I can yell at him because he needs it. Because he grew up in a single mother home, single parent home, and mother and babied him all day, and he needs to hear a man's voice. He don't really need to be scolded and got on because he come from a dual parent home. All he need is direction. Okay, this one right here is late and tardy. He needs structure. So I got to make sure he stays within the guidelines of everything. Him, I got to punish him here and there to make sure he understands you can't get away with the foolishness. Either you're going to be a part of this or you're going to be out the door. It's so many different nuances in here, and the coaches do a wonderful job of understanding all these. All we ask is smart, tough, fast, discipline with character. Smart, tough, fast, discipline with character. And the fast ain't got nothing to do with running. It's to retain things fast. When you get hurt, heal fast. When we growing up a play, okay, react, read and react fast. And, you know, being smart on the field, off the field, tough, physical and mental toughness. You know, you can't sit up there and blame everything on mental health, because I didn't hear you blaming mental health when you was scoring touchdowns. But when that thing took a left and people weren't clapping and cheering, now you're going to wave the mental health flag. I'm going to ride with you and I'm going to get you help. But I'm going to sit there and look at you and say, now, I want you to be the same when you up and when you down. I need the same guy with that same spirit, that same intensity, that same passion for everything. So I love... This ain't work to me, man. I get here probably 4:40, 4:45 every morning. And there ain't nobody here. I'm ready. Go over there and get my workout in, come back, go over my notes and prepare myself for the morning message that we have with the kids, and I can't wait till they're ready. So I walk in, the meeting starts at 7:15. That means I'm starting at 7:05 or 7:08, 7:10 at the latest, because I'm teaching them how to be early, how to be prepared.
If you're on time, you're late.
There you go.
Hmm. Told you.
There you go.
Why you say that?
Valuable lesson. Valuable lesson in life.
Yeah, I saw the character building, and I obviously on your Instagram, and you had the no slides rule and making sure that everybody, there's no tank tops if you're a part of it. The last thing we need is somebody speaking on the character of the players that are here. So you're building not just athletes, but you're building the young man for the future. So you got Travis, and then you have Kevin Coleman as well, top, you know, five-star recruit. Do you feel like the Power Fives are starting to feel threatened by what you're doing?
No, they're not threatened.
Not yet?
Mm-mm. They threatened, but they know me. Mm. You don't have to be a threat, but you being known is enough. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, oh, he over there. Yeah, that's him. He over there. Y'all better keep an eye on that. That's, I'm not threatening, but they got an eye on me.
He did.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Let me ask you this. They said 65-70% of NFL athletes go bankrupt 5 years after they are done playing. Disturbing statistic.
That ain't just NFL now.
Well,
as the NBA,
I think NBA is a little bit lower, but the NFL is a little bit higher because it's a shorter career. They make less money. How important is it for financial literacy for your kids?
Very much so. And we try to incorporate everything. Matter of fact, I have several kids on the team right now that are fathers. But they're kids that are fathers of kids. That disturbs me because I know how tough it is to be a real daddy. I don't want them to be a baby daddy. I want them to be a father. So not only financial literacy, but understanding how to be a man is a whole nother level. 95% of those kids that sit back there aren't going pro. So my focus is not on that five, because that five got it. My focus is on that 95. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll never depart. I need to train him up and be the navigational system on where they should go.
Was it difficult for you to become a millionaire at a young age? Did you make financial mistakes?
I was always cheap, man. And I'm still am. But I made some mistakes, definitely. So, you know, see it, get it, want it. I made some mistakes. But I was blessed because I had two jobs and endorsements. So when Tom, Dick, and Harry was trying to keep up with Prime, you know, I could bank all the football and bank all the baseball and spend all endorsements. That's not how it went down, but I've made some valuable mistakes, but real estate has always been good to me. It got me back in the game. So I'm a land freak. I love land. I love real estate.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So is there an area of the country, or maybe internationally, that you're like, all right, this is my focus, this is my hub for real estate?
No, I mean, homes and then land. Like, I've always lived on 100-some acres and able to flip it, you know, like after 10 years, after a decade. But now I feel like I found out where I want to live, and that's it. But I got that property in several places. I'm good. I'm straight.
So I heard you say something that was interesting to me, because I always knew that you didn't drink or smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know, you said, like, you're more of an introverted person. Like, you don't even like to be around, which is interesting because your whole persona is Prime Time.
Right, right.
And dancing Flash, the chains. Mm-hmm. All of that. So I was surprised to hear you say that. But you articulated it very well when I heard you talk about that. So can you talk about that? I think you said something like the Prime Time was more like the character.
Yeah, that's a switch. When I see cameras, I can hit a switch. And I know how to entertain. I know how to inform. But when you're gone, Sam will tell you, I'm going to go in the office and seclude myself and engulf myself in trying to be dominant in what we do. And I'd rather not be in a crowd. I don't mind playing in front of crowds, but I'm not going to go into a crowd. I'm never going to do that, like, knowingly and selfishly. I'm not that kind of person. I'm never going to be the loudest guy in the room. I'm not that kind of person. I'm never going to sit there and articulate about my whole life unless I'm being interviewed, because that ain't me. Only time I raise my voice is when I'm out there on that field. So Deion is prime. Prime, you know, commands checks. Yeah. Deion makes sure Prime is on his job. And makes sure he's straight.
Checks and balances.
Checks and balances. Checks and balances. They both need it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You talked about the power of relationships, and you spoke about some people who've come to the school, obviously, former NFL players, but you also started to bring in NFL coaches.
Yes.
So can you talk about the importance of that? Because that, when you have that type of character and you have that type of mindset, it, you know, it spills down to the players. Now they're coached at an NFL level, whereas they didn't have to go to a big school to do it. They can come right here and do it. Can you talk about the importance of that?
That was tremendous for me when I comprised a staff. You got to understand now, you take a Power 5 job, it's a totally different game. Mm-hmm. Because your staff has to be at a certain level. You take a HBCU job, it's another thing. Not only your staff have to be at a certain level, they got to be relatable to these kids. So when I'm able to go divide my staff up and say, okay, I got four guys from the NFL, I got a few guys from college, and I got a few high school guys. That's unbelievable because it's all relatable. We got guys coming out of high school, going to college, want to go to the NFL. So I got guys that can touch them in every aspect of life. And being able to sit them down with a guy who has a plethora of years in the NFL to talk to them and say, this is how it is. What coach is telling you is 100. Mm-hmm. You can't do that foolishness out there because they just going to cut you and it's going to be over. So having that knowledge and having the audacity to be able to call a guy. One linebacker was talking junk about who he was, what he was. All right, let me ask Ray Lewis, okay? Ray, man, can you tell this fool what I'm, you know, it's like that. So when you have those type of relationships, and I've done that several times with some of my friends just to show these guys and put them on the screen in the morning and let them see, touch these guys with Michael Irvins and some of these guys that are phenomenal. Like, dang. You know, that was Chad Ochocinco. That was Michael Irvin right there in the meeting room.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful. And those kids need that, man. They need to see that they can make it and see that person that made it.
Chad didn't get by you. Yeah, just for record.
No. Chad Ocho?
Yeah,
Ocho?
Yeah, they got a thing going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On site. We call it on site.
Shout out to Chad. So you said something that was interesting on social media. You said that the Hall of Fame, there should be a Hall of Fame, like, levels to
it is. There's levels to everything.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Everything should be levels to that. Because come on,
it's a little watered
down. I'm just the one that's
gonna say it.
Just gonna say it. Hey, let me get my TV right. Who is that? What?
Like,
got it.
To me,
that's great. They just announced the new nominees today.
To me, a Hall of Famer growing up,
yeah,
was a guy who changed the game. Hmm. Like, Mel Blunt, man, was that dude for me. Like, Mel Blunt changed the game. He was so violent and physical, they changed the whole contact rule down the field because he was 10 yards down the field. You know, he was just breaking them off. And certain guys just changed the game. Now, it's guys that played the game. Then you had a few good years. That ain't right for me, man. That's not what I grew up on. Okay. They unchanged the game. They've changed the Hall of Fame game to me.
You grew up with, I mean, not grew up. You played with game changers.
No, I played. To me, my era was, let me put it to you like, let me give you an argument.
Yeah.
When people talk about receivers, and I say, okay, Jerry was in my era.
The greatest.
Okay, the greatest.
Yeah.
But who Jerry had thrown to him?
Joe Montana.
And yeah. Well, okay. So not only I had to cover the greatest,
yeah,
the greatest was thrown to him. So in my era, Michael Irvin was one of the greatest, right?
Yeah.
Who was thrown to him?
Troy Aikman.
Three Super Bowls. Wasn't he one of the greatest too?
He's up there.
Hall of Famer.
Accuracy.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer for sure. Yeah.
Okay, we keep going.
Yeah.
You keep going with the quarterbacks in my era. Jim Kelly. Who he had?
Andre Reed.
And who else? James Lofton.
James Lofton. Lofty Love.
We keep going all day.
He's a Hall of Famer.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, I'm covering the Hall of Famer. It's another one throwing it.
Yeah.
Now, you're lucky to get one cat. You're not going to get the quarterback and the receiver. It's going to be one. It was a difficult error.
It was a difficult error. Okay.
No. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So I'm thinking of quarterback receiver combos that could end up in the Hall of Fame.
Who? Right now?
That could.
Right now?
From this past decade.
Who?
I think Roethlisberger and AB could go. Just based on stats. Based on stats for the first 8 years.
No, I'm good with AB.
Oh, but I mean, you know.
Ben?
You know they're going to do that.
Big Ben?
They're going to do that.
He's not a Hall of Famer?
I think he is.
He's not. No, I think
how many chips, too?
In my era?
In your era, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
He won more than Jim Kelly.
That's a fact. That is a fact.
And Bobby. Yeah,
it ain't just. He didn't win.
The team.
Thank you.
One.
When Jim Kelly was Jim Kelly, Jim Kelly was Jim Kelly.
Teams get wins.
No, Jim Kelly was like, they had something, tough. Man. Shoot.
He's tough. I'm not taking anything away from
Jim Kelly. Yeah, they had tough. That offense, the way they ran that thing, man, please. They put everybody on notice in the secondary. Everybody's going to get it.
All right, Rodgers and Adams.
Devontae, they're not together no more, dog.
But they were. I'm saying from this past.
New Edition was together one time.
But they ain't
together.
But
they're going together.
They'll go.
They haven't been elected.
Is Bobby going? With Bell Bills DeVoe? And what you call it? And I ate every darn thing in sight? Who was that? The big one there. Who's the big one that I ate every darn thing? I can't even recognize him. Love you to write.
Johnny Gill.
Johnny.
Now, Johnny Gill. That was huge.
I ain't even recognize Johnny.
No.
I apologize, Johnny.
My.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
I got a better one.
What?
Peyton and Marvin Harrison. Or Reggie Wayne.
Yes.
These are Hall of Famers.
That was in my era. That's my era, too.
15 years. That was 10 years ago.
That was.
Peyton and Marvin was in my era, though.
Yeah. Later.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just starting.
True.
Yeah. That's like your Ravens years, though.
No, they was in the mid-Cowboy years.
But then also what happened after you left is that the league became a wide receivers league. And all of these wide receivers became the face of the league, and they started becoming.
It's always a quarterback's face.
Well, it's a quarterback, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they still don't have the – like, if you went back, they don't have the numbers. They don't have the numbers.
The wide receivers.
They don't have the numbers. They're good, but they don't have the numbers.
That's why I said AB, though, because he has the numbers.
AB, I promise you.
They go.
Let me tell you something. AB is my dog. Y'all know how I feel about AB.
Yeah.
It would be all hell broke loose if they let AB in the Hall of Fame. I would go. I ain't been back since. I would go just to see that one.
That's going to be. He's going to be doing his dance.
Yeah.
AB probably come out there butt naked.
It's a chance.
Right, so if we make it levels, what color jacket are we going to be there?
It should be a bright red.
Bright red.
Yep.
Who's in it with you?
For the elite.
What you mean?
Who's in it? Who's wearing the red?
Shoot.
Game.
You want to go position by position?
Tom Brady.
Definitely. You just want to go one.
I like that.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, one team.
Let's go.
Running back.
I ride with Brady.
Who's the running back?
Running back. That's tough for that dog. I tell
two,
you what.
Two.
No. Two backs.
Two backs.
Jim Brown.
Okay.
Interesting.
Who's the other one?
That's a tough one, that dog.
I'll put Barry in there.
Barry Sanders was my favorite. Him and Barry, like Barry Sanders.
They were just different.
You know what?
But Barry never won, and it's difficult to put him in that.
Emmitt was a dog, too, dog.
Barry Sanders like Allen Iverson in football.
Emmitt was a dog, too. I settle with that. Let's go to the next position.
Do we have to do fullback? Let's do fullback.
If you want to. Fullback. Ain't
no fullback. All right. Wide receivers.
Jerry
I see
Moss.
Jerry and Moss.
That's it.
Moss. That's top two.
That's it.
Okay.
Linebacker.
We're gonna skip the lines. Let's. You want to do defensive line?
You don't know no offensive line, so go ahead and do defensive line.
Offensive line. But we'll skip them. I know offensive line.
Who's offensive line?
The best.
Yes.
Okay, Larry Allen was a killer. Let's just get that straight.
Cowboys. Larry Allen is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Munoz.
Cincinnati. That's like '80s guys.
Struggling.
No, I'm just trying to think. Like,
the
whole thing
was all right. They were dumb.
Offensive linemen don't get commercials. Defensive linemen might get commercials.
Okay, let's go defensive line.
LT.
That's where you start at.
Of course.
He's a lineman.
He's in.
Yeah, he changed the game from linebacker to rusher.
Reggie White.
Okay. We'll take those two.
You got two more now.
Inside? Oh, Aaron Donald.
Already?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yes.
Ever?
Yes. Oversap?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough one now.
Yeah, but this dude's a beast.
It is. That's a tough one.
No, he's a beast.
Yeah, but Sapp was a beast too.
Sapp was a beast. And then he wasn't a beast for a little.
What about? Yeah, because he.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say
okay,
that.
Okay.
Okay.
Linebacker. Oh, you got one more
Ray
linebacker.
Lewis. Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, for sure.
Who's the other?
My favorite linebacker. Game changer?
You have to go old school.
Are you going to say Buckus or Singletary? What are you going to say?
I say Buckus.
Okay. All right, here we go. Cornerback.
Yeah, shoot.
I mean, outside of you. Who's the other cornerback?
Let me turn my back so y'all can
my back.
You don't even have a vote for that.
Who's the other cornerback?
The other cornerback is Mel Blount.
What's that? You said that. You said he was going to say that.
Mel Blount.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say Rod Woodson.
Rod was more of a safety to me. There you go, dog. You did your homework. Did your homework.
Okay.
Even though you never seen him play, but you did.
But he didn't know.
Okay.
So then we get safety. Can I get two? Free safety? Strong safety?
You got two.
All right. I'm going to say the best that I've seen in my lifetime. Ronnie Lott and Ed Reed.
I ride with you. Okay. I'm in the car with you.
All right.
Ray Guy is the punter.
Yes. Special teams?
Rick, Devin Hester.
I thought she was going to say you, but I was going to say no, Devin Hester.
All right. How is Devin Hester not a first ballot Hall of Fame?
He's up this year or was it last year?
No, it was last year. That was an insult.
Yeah, he definitely.
That's what really triggered me.
Yeah.
You ain't put my boy in.
Tight end?
Tight end, the best tight end.
Shannon Sharp?
It's not Shannon Sharp.
It's not Shannon Sharp?
He's going to say Gronk.
He's
going to say Gronk.
I might have to say Gronk. But
it's Shannon
but,
Gronk.
But I think it will be Kelsey.
When it's all said and done?
Yeah.
But number of catches, the game has changed. But,
how many tight ends led the league in receiving yards?
How many quarterbacks throw that much?
They all do now?
Yeah, now. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Tony Gonzalez in the conversation, of course. Shannon Sharp changed.
Yeah, but you got to understand. See, Gronk era, this is how great he was. Brady's era, they always won. Say they were always up.
Yeah.
Therefore, they didn't have to throw at the conclusion of the game. It wasn't tight. They was already winning. So he didn't rack up his numbers.
And he got hurt a few times.
Yeah, think about that. See, a lot of guys that catch a lot of balls, they losing too now. And they have to throw, and they getting their receptions.
Yeah, the 2,000-yard rusher.
If you want to see a great corner, watch a guy on a bad team.
A great corner?
Mm-hmm. Watch him on a bad team. Watch the cornerbacks on a bad team where you getting your butt shellacked. If you get your numbers on a bad team, you doing something.
I'm a Washington guy, so Darryl Green.
Darryl was a bad boy.
He was a good one. He's short, but he was great. Champ Bailey, another Washington guy.
Champ was a dog.
Went to Denver. He's up for the Hall of Fame right now.
I thought Champ was already in.
Oh, he's in. No, I'm sorry. Darrell Revis is up.
Yeah, Revis first ballot.
This is his year.
So we have Tom Brady as a quarterback.
That's for sure.
Tom or Joe?
Tom or Joe?
Yeah, or Joe Montana. I'm saying it's out of those two.
Out of those two?
Yeah.
All right, we got a team. We got the all UIL team right there.
Yes.
Yes. I got you.
Yeah.
Well, Prime, before we wrap it up, what's your plan for Jackson State in the next, couple years, 5 years?
I don't do that.
You don't do that?
I'm going to dominate today. And when I get tomorrow, I'm going to dominate that. I don't do that. Personally, life, cool, but not for Jackson. I don't do that. I got to stay right here and laser focused, man. I'm trying to dominate for the rest of the day. Then I'm gonna get up and do it again tomorrow.
Dak Prescott.
He's from Mississippi. Dak Prescott.
He went to Mississippi State.
Oh yeah.
He was a man there.
Yeah.
And now he's America's team. So.
Nah. Yeah.
It's not America's team. You're not America's team.
Man, my old boss Jerry Jones is the best marketer ever.
He came up with this.
He's the only man that can get you to believe that his team is gonna win the championship. Every year.
And they never do. In 90, 20 years.
I love him for that.
Were you on the last team that won?
Yes.
Damn, 95. Yeah. Wow.
It's been a minute.
Right.
That hurt me when you went over there, by the way.
When I went over where?
When you
to
went
Dallas?
To Dallas? Yeah.
It's business.
I knew it was. I know, but.
He never offered me. Yeah. They never told you that. They never offered me. You know, I found out. I was playing for the Giants, and I was in this restaurant, and it was preseason. And I seen this little white kid, man. I think he was catching punts or something with 21 on. I said, whoo-hoo. I called my agent. I said, I guess we ain't going back there, huh? That's how I found out. Straight up.
That's crazy.
You're the only player that's ever played in a World Series and Super Bowl.
True that.
I believe.
I don't think it ever happened again. They won't even allow it.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you and Bo Jackson are the only people that's actually, have, in my knowledge, have done that successfully for football and
basketball. No, Brian Jordan had a good
Brian
one.
Jordan.
He was my teammate with Atlanta, and he would have been an all-pro had he continued playing football.
Damn, forgot about him.
He was a dog, too.
Do you think that you maximized your baseball career, or do you
No, I left it on the table. I have baseball dreams all the time.
You think you could have done more in baseball?
Man, I have dreams all the time. I only have dreams of things that were incomplete. Mm. I don't have dreams of things that were complete. So I dream about baseball all the time.
You were a great Yankee.
That was all right, Yankee. All
right. I'm talking about
positive. A good Brave, a good Red, but never great.
So you played for Steinbrenner and you played for Jerry Jones.
Yep. Both of them were unbelievable owners. Changed the game.
Both. Game changes.
Yep. I would have actually played baseball singularly. George Steinbrenner offered me a deal. And then he got in some junk and they pulled it back off the table. Mm. But I was going to accept it to play baseball full time.
And not play football?
Football wouldn't have been the priority. Baseball would have. Hmm. So I probably would have caught the backside of football the last several games, which was cool. I did that several years anyway. Just didn't seem like it, but I did.
Yeah, because that season's over October. And that's probably like week four.
So you think that'll never happen again, baseball and football?
They won't allow it because they don't let the kids play dual sports anymore.
Yeah.
I wish it would. Man, I appreciate y'all though.
Thank you, brother.
It's been cool.
Appreciate it, brother.
This day been longer than Thriller, ain't it?
Coach Prime.
Appreciate it.
There you have it. A wrap on the set.
Rap.